I believe that showing the video would make Krista and her girls and the Bolstons feel homesick again because they've been with us years ago. It's been a while since we've been back on furlough because of COVID. We had planned to come before that, but COVID came up and we had postponed it until now that God had enabled us to come. So I have waited because the border was closed and I really didn't want to get the vaccination shot. I just waited for that till it's over. So now it's open up, so we were able to do this travel. So standing up here, I'm more comfortable standing before our people and speaking in my own language. But bear with me tonight. I remember when I first came to Ambassador Baptist College, I was struggling with English. And poor Mrs. Rosenau then was spending a lot of times with me after school and helping me to read English and to try to comprehend with what I read. At that time, when someone would speak to me, it'll take me a few seconds to respond because I have to put the words in my mind, and I was afraid I might make a mistake, but a lot of mistakes I made, I was able to learn from them. And so it's so nice to be back here to be with you, Maranatha Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor. I thought tonight if I preach, I may preach in my language tonight and Pastor will interpret for me. Because he came, and at the time when he came, he preached a service there. But if he was not going to do it, then I'm going to ask Brother Bill to do that, right? But it reminded me of the time when Susan and I were here during our last year after finishing up college. Before that, Maranatha was in Mooresboro, and we were in a trailer. At that time, we were attending Emmanuel Baptist Church, but then we found this church, and it was just a walking distance, so we transferred to this church at that point. It was just me. I think just me and Susan were the ambassador students at the church at that time. Pastor at that time was a name of a gentleman named Jim Jones, and then... And then he, I think, resigned, and we were so glad when Pastor Camp came and took over and pastored the church, and we were there. We were commissioned by this church and then sent off to Ohana Baptist Church, where our first ministry we had back in 96. So we were there in Hawaii for, I think, 2.5 years, and we came back for deputation. And thank God that he enabled us to return home in Pohnpei at 2001, and we've been there since. I want to thank God for his blessings, and thank you, church, for your support in prayer and your financial support to our ministry back home. So if you have any question about the ministry, please feel free to talk to me afterward. But I thought maybe if you want to know more about Micronesia and our island, Pohnpei, why don't you visit yourself and find out about it? So we would love to have you guys come visit us someday if the Lord opens the opportunity. But I want us to go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, for the sake of time. I don't want to take up a whole lot of time, but I'm so happy to come back and see people that I've known for years, and then meet new people as well. And so it's good to be here with you this evening and also this morning. briefly, I got saved, as it mentioned up in the video, at the age of 14 at our first youth summer camp. I had made a profession of faith before that, but it was that summer that back in, I think it's 84, and I struggled with salvation at that point. I was having some doubts, and then during the invitation, I raised my hand to respond to the invitation, and one of the staff at the camp came by and took me aside and questioned me, and I just told him, I'm struggling. I just want to make sure I'm saved. So he showed me some verses in the Bible, and then that matter of salvation got settled in my heart, and I'm very thankful for that. About 2 years after that, I felt the Lord call upon my life to just surrender it for His will. And God enabled me to come here at Ambassador back in 1990. So at that time, it was, I believe, Dr. Bill, it was about 2 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And it took me about 6.5 years to complete my education, but I'm glad I was done. I was determined, though. I said, you know, when the group that I came with graduated and I'm not with them, I wasn't with them, it was a little discouraging. As I should be with these guys graduating that year. The next year came, I wasn't with that group. It was a little discouraging, I said. But I said to myself, I said, Lord, help me. For your grace, I'm going to stick with it. If it takes 10 years, I'll stay with it until it's done. So I'm glad God enabled me to finish, and we were able to be in the field since 2001. Anyways, please turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. It's so nice to be back here to be with my favorite in-laws. Pastor Stevens, Mrs. Stevens are my favorite mother-in-law and father-in-law because they're the only one I have. And they also tell me that I'm their favorite son-in-law. But it's good to be back and see them again and to be with them for a few days. I know our traveling will take us away a lot of times, but we hope between some time we can be back, see them before we go back in December. That's our plan, to return there. But as I thought about, Pastor, when you came, it was just the right time. We just so glad that God opened that door for you to come, because it was a time when we really needed help. We were in the process of doing the construction work for the retaining wall, and God provided these four men, two from Tennessee, one from Michigan, and one from Nevada. And never met these men before, but God brought them to help us to build that, and Pastor came along, and he and Brother Ivan were helping us build that wall. And so we have a big wall. After it was built, I was able to sleep a little bit in peace at night, so God was good. So please turn with me there in Romans 12. I just want to share a little bit from what I've found in these verses. I know it's a familiar chapter, but with the ministry that God has called us to do in Pohn Bay at our little church of Ambassador Baptist Church, I'm glad, you know, when we got there, and after 2 years serving under Pastor Wallace, the church where I got saved, Calvary Baptist Church, I asked Pastor, I said, would you let me do some outreach ministry out of where my father was from? And he says, you got my blessing. So I started going up there and meeting people and then doing some Bible study, seeing some people get saved. And then finally we prayed as they really wanted that we have a church, because when I would go pick them up to go to Calvary Church, I wouldn't be able to take all of them. My little car cannot take that many people. So finally God enabled us to start this church. And I was thinking, what should we call our church? So I thought Ambassador was a great name to give it. So we are very thankful for Ambassador Baptist Church that God has enabled us to start on Pohn Bay. And so now as we go in this chapter, at the end of 11 is what I want to begin with, where it says, for him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And so all that through him, which reverts to our Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry that God has given us to do in Pohn Bay is all for his glory. Our purpose, our desire is to glorify him in our service for him. So we thank God for what he's enabled us to do in that little church until now. Then we go into verse number 1 in chapter 12. I was doing my devotion in this book and came across again this chapter, and it really spoke to my heart. And that's what I like to share with us tonight. I read verse number 1 and 2, and then we'll pray. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be back here at Maranatha Baptist Church, to be with this church again, to report back on what you've done in the ministry you've called us to do in Phnom Penh. I pray that you would use this moment as we look into your word, for your word to challenge our hearts and bless our hearts. Use me for your glory, Father. Help me to say what you want me to say. And we'll give you praise in all that is done in Jesus' name. Amen. In the ministry that I believe God has given us to do, these are the things that we seek to do in the Lord's name. First, that we seek lost souls. We share the gospel with the people in our area. And so, as I read what Paul says in here, as he begged these group of Christians, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Brethren speaks of people that are saved. And we are doing the work of seeking people to be saved. We are going out into the villages in our place where we live to share the gospel. Our outreach ministry may be a little different than what you do here, but we do on our Thursday evening for our day of visitation. So we would talk to people if we can come visit them. A lot of people are open for us to come visit. Some people may question, what group are you from? And so if you mention we're from the Baptist Church, you can sense the barrier right in front of you there. It's like they don't really want you to come there. But some are so kind, they will allow us to be there and bring the Word of God to them. But that is our desire and our prayer, that we seek souls to be saved so that they can become part of the brethren, that they are saved, they are baptized, and they are become part of the church. In our time, we are seeing some of our people are leaving, some coming here to the States because they want to move here. Some come here to look for a job, to work. Some come for school and other things that they would leave here. He leave our church to do, to go away. But we are grateful to see some new people that have been saved and become part of our church. And that is an exciting thing to see when God saves souls and place them in that little church to become a part of the brethren. And so salvation is our prayer, that God would use us to bring souls to Him and to be part of the church. When I realized that more people are leaving the church, you know, we would grow a little bit and then dwindle down because some would move away. I realized that, and I said, the next family that is moving away, make sure you find your replacement before you go. So, but it is our duty and it's our responsibility to continue to preach the gospel so that souls would be saved and become part of the church and part of the brethren that we see here in verse number 1. And then our prayer as well, as I would think about the verse, not just to get saved, but as Paul mentioned further on, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is our desires and prayer, and also it's an exciting thing to see when a Christian is surrendered to God's will. So I pray and hope that each one of us have done that in our hearts, have surrendered to the Lord. When I thought about the time when God was dealing in my heart, I was still in the youth group. An evangelist that came and did that summer camp with us. After the summer camp, we were gathered at his place for just a fellowship and little activity. And before we leave his home, his place, he says, I want to do a devotion with you, young people. And at this devotion, I want you to ask me questions that if I can answer, I'll tell you the answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll let you know I don't know the answer, and I'll try to find an answer to it. But I remember some of us were asking questions, but one particular question that I do remember was, what do you think we need in our youth group? And I thought for a minute of that question. He thought about the question and he said, you know what? I think you guys, I don't see anyone working with you as a youth pastor. You guys need a youth pastor. I've never heard a position of a youth pastor before. I questioned that thought and I said, I thought there's just only one pastor in the church. But then he explained what the youth pastor does and I said, well, that makes sense. It's exactly what we need in our youth group. We need someone to work with us, someone we can look up to that we would respect and help us to grow in our spiritual life, someone that will really spend a lot of time with us to direct us in God's path. And I said, who's going to do that? Who's going to do it? I felt at that moment when I felt God was dealing with me and say, why don't you give me your life for that? And I was talking back and forth, kind of arguing about the thought, and I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then that's what I'll do. I surrendered to his will at that day. And so ever since that time, and when I came here at Ambassador Baptist College, and during those years here that I have thought of not going back home, but God really put a burden in my heart. No, I want you to return. I want you to go back. And every time I thought about something else to do, not to return home, God reminded me of that surrender time that I said to him. And so it had been that burden that caused me to return. And before we went back, when I met Susan here at the college, I mentioned that to her when we saw that the relationship, the friendship started to grow. I said, Susan, I want to let you know that I really feel the Lord wants me to return home. And if that's what you feel God would have you do, then that's great. And so she already mentioned that she had surrendered to God's will. And so I was glad that God had called her for anywhere where God would lead her. And then we got married in 95 in December. We went to Hawaii, first trip, I think the next year after Hawaii, I said, let's visit Pohnpei. As a service that allow us to just visit for a little bit. And during that trip, I was praying. I said, Lord, if you want us to return to Pohnpei, this is really, confirm it to me that you would show Susan that this is where you would have her be. When we visited Pohnpei and then we went to Kosrae where my parents were staying, that just few days, Susan looked at me and says, let's not go back to Hawaii. I prayed to God. I said, Lord, thank you for giving her that desire to be here. And so we are grateful that God has given us a ministry on the island of Pohnpei to serve until now. But our desire is to see people, Christians that are saved, to surrender their life to serve the Lord, wherever God would have them. So are you surrendered? Has there been a point where you say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do? I think there are some Christians that are content just to be saved, but they don't really want to surrender to God. I hope that we would realize that the moment we got saved, we now belong to Him. All of our wills are God's wills to be done. We replace our will for God's will and say, Lord, what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. So surrendering to God is really important. And that's our prayer for our people that have been saved. And then when they are saved, that they would desire to serve the Lord. And we can see that in the rest of the verses, and I won't go through all the chapter, but as I look down, the spiritual gifts that God has given to each one of us, we are to use it for His service. We all have been given a spiritual gift by God. And we may, we need to use them to serve the Lord. And may our desires to serve God And so that's the prayer that we pray for God to do in our lives as we serve people back home, especially with those that we have bring them to Christ for salvation as they place their faith in what Christ has done for them. Going down further down to the end of the chapter, as I look in verse number 9, here's where God really spoke to my heart. Because as I thought about what's happening in these few verses, in these last verses, it shows forth the life of a Christian that following Christ. We want to live Christ-likeness. And let's look at them. I'm not going to explain each one of them, but we can see the explanation already in these verses. In verse 9 and down, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I will keep reading on as till we go to the end, but as we think about this, how are these can be done? It has to be done through the Spirit filling in our hearts. And as I thought about that, may God help me, that I would be filled with the Spirit. I want to obey His word. I want to fulfill what these characteristics are showing to us in this end of the chapter. I pause there in verse number 12 where it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There are times when we face tribulations in our lives, and times when I would recall times when I would say, Lord, maybe this is where I would, I'm at the point where the thought of quitting would come because of struggles and trials that you may face. But then, thank God, it was those times when I find myself a lot closer to the Lord. And I thank God that God had enabled me to just continue to follow Him and obey His will. In times of tribulation, times of trials that we face in life, I'm glad to be reminded that continuing instant prayer is really helps in those times. We learn to walk closer to God at the point of trials in life. But I find myself a lot closer to the Lord when I face trials. And I believe as what God has done in the past in my life through some trials that I face, He's the same God that can help me through the next one. And so it helps me to rely on Him and to depend on Him. So all these things can be done if the Spirit of God is in control of our life. Then we continue on distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. I thought of a man that we met just last Sunday. I think it was last Sunday when we were up in Newark, Ohio, where my in-laws are originally from. At the church there, there was a man that had just lost his wife. And after the service, he came and wanted to talk to me, and I talked to him a little bit, but I sensed the sorrow, the sadness, and my heart went out to him. And so people with facing these difficult times, our hearts should be with them. If they're happy, let's happy with them. They're sad, we sense the sadness in their hearts. But weep with them that are weeping. Rejoice with them that rejoice. May our heart be connected with those that are in need of our prayers and encouragement. As we continue there, it says, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your conceit. Recompense no man evil with evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And as I thought of all these things, I said, all these things can be done correctly if the Spirit is filling our lives and in control. And so it is our prayer. It's such a wonderful thing to see when God's people are in unity, are working together, encouraging each other, be in love where God is in control of their lives. There are times when I recall in our ministry where Satan will step in and try to stir up some troubles. And those are hard times, sad times. You know, you just don't like those times. But then when you see God is working in people's heart and they are loving each other and being what God would have them to be, it's just a blessing time to see and an encouragement from the Lord to see that God is working. So Pastor Davidson, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and to share a little bit of the ministry God has given us to do. And thank you, church, for all of you that you've done to support us. Pastor, thank you. Mm-hmm.